You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
Program, and we are joined by a couple of surprise guests. We have Hannah Davis and Emily Mackey, coming in to talk about their new Scenes and Seas project, which is part of their Science Communication 301 paper. Morena, how you doing?
Good, thanks for having us.
No, of course. It's funny because there was a whole email thing, and I'm real bad with my emails. Yeah, so thank you very much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yeah. Was it a chill time making your way to the station? Because I know some people find it a bit tricky. It's a funny area.
Yeah, no, I think it was easy enough.
Good 2-minute walk from Central Library to get the blood pumping in the morning.
Mm, yeah. Oh, yeah, you guys are studying big time for like your exams and stuff?
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
In the thick of it.
I don't miss that, eh? I really don't.
No, final stretch. Mm. Last year, this year.
Really though.
You've got like 2 or 3 exams going on.
Yep. Two big exams and then we're out of here.
Oh, nice. Out of Dunedin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, damn. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
So you're coming in here today because you're talking about your Scenes and Seas project, which is part of a science communication paper 301. What got you both interested in science communication?
Well, I think for me, I think it's just such an important part of being a scientist. I'm a science major, and I think it's one thing to be able to do the science, but to actually let people know what you're doing in an accessible way is so important, both for the public and for getting your research across.
100%, yeah. I major in ecology and religious studies, so I get the science and the humanities, which is really fun. But I do really feel like science is for everyone, but it's not something that you often feel like. Like I had so many friends in school that just didn't enjoy science because they felt like they weren't good at it or their parents weren't super interested in it, and you know, you like see big words or like statistics and no one's taught you how to read it and you're like, well, this isn't for me, I don't belong here. But you know, science should be something that like helps us all and we can all get interested in.
So
I think it's super important being able to engage people whether they want to do it professionally or like be healthy or you know
In all manner of capacities.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That reminds me of like the first ever science class I had in year 7 was our science teacher was like, so what science did you do on the holidays? And we were like, oh, I don't know. And then they were talking about like digestion is science and like breathing air is science. But yeah, a bunch of things things that are science.
What's crazy is when you read like historical books every now and then, there'll be like some character who goes off and does science. It's just like a rich dude.
Mm. Oh yeah.
From
for
like
sure.
the 1600s who just like had a lot of time and money and he just went outside and took some notes on things. Like nothing, like you don't need a degree, just get out there and
do it yourself.
Have some ideas. Yeah.
DIY, it's in our DNA.
Yeah,
which is also scientific.
There you go, on theme.
So the project is about examining the impact of fast fashion on the Earth's oceans. Are you both very fashion oriented folks?
I would say I am, maybe self-described more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think this event is something that I'm very interested in. I've always had an interest in like secondhand fashion, that kind of thing. Always been kind of conscious of, I guess, just how damaging the fashion industry is for the environment, and particularly the marine environment, which is what we're focusing on. Yeah. So I'm really excited to be able to do this and hopefully raise some awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely feel like also there's so much emphasis on consumption. And I personally really enjoy, like, wearing things that I like, exploring new styles. But then, like, alongside that, of course, there is, like, the environmental impact, not to mention financial impact.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not just fast fashion. There are so many other things. And it's so hard to, like, feel like you're doing something right when there's just, like, so much good advertising. We've gotten really good at advertising, like, to make you want to buy things, try new styles, and it's really hard to figure out, like, how to do it right. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I've seen a lot of people, like, our age online, just, like, putting each other down for, like, buying secondhand or not buying secondhand.
Mm.
You don't really feel like there's actually a solution. There's just kind of, like, an opportunity to be told that you're wrong.
Mm. I think, like, there's the whole thing about judging someone by the consumption is a bit of a risky game there. You know, I think there's, like, you can obviously say things like Shein and Temu. I think I blacklist those personally. But again, like, I don't know. It's more about making them aware.
Exactly. You know,
and maybe trying to encourage some. Just don't even buy. You don't need like a million clothes as well. You can just like enjoy what you have.
Yeah.
Get into sewing or something. I don't know.
But you know, at the end of the day, like everyone's a human being, and yeah, I try not to buy from Temu and Shein. I'm trying to reduce what I buy, but you know, I know I'm aware that I have plenty of flaws.
Yeah.
Tons of them.
Exactly.
Bad with time management and everything else, which just doesn't make it easy to do. You know, and yeah. I'm not going to, like, cut off a friend because they're buying from Shein, but it would be great if we could, you know, if we like, change how we're thinking together and we make it, like, a positive effort rather than, you know, when you, like, make people feel judged, feel like they're a bad person because you've just decided that one thing that they do is wrong, you're not inviting them in to make positive change and you're not inviting them in to be included in that conversation. You're telling them that they're not ready or they're beneath it, you know?
I
feel like
that is kind of a key aim of our event, really, is to kind of communicate the science behind why it's so damaging and then hopefully encourage the people who come along to maybe think about making some better, more sustainable choices when it comes to their fashion. Not to shame anyone, not to tell anyone what they can and can't do, but we're hoping to create a positive vibe and then hopefully people will leave thinking about how they can maybe make a change.
Yeah.
So the big problem, it seems, with, I mean, I have no idea about fast fashion and the impact on oceans, but I imagine there's a lot of microplastic stuff going on there.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, just fish eating shirts.
Well,
that sounds trivial, but I'm being serious. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
There's impacts the whole way along the clothing production chain. So from creating the clothes, there's runoff into waterways, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, shipping and things like that.
True.
And then once you actually have the clothes, when you wash them, it always synthetic fibers and things release microplastics. So it's all kind of compounding the issue. And yeah, it's the marine environment that takes a lot of the brunt of it, really.
Yeah. I mean, microplastics are everywhere.
I get
terrifying.
Really freaked out about them sometimes. Yeah. I'm like,
it's
oh
so
god.
Freaky.
Yeah. I saw someone online the other day saying, who, like a microplastics researcher, I think, saying, yeah, there aren't any tests about the effects of microplastics on people because there aren't any controls. Every human being just has microplastics inside of them. So
that's so scary.
Yeah. So that's why we can't properly prove it. Nah, but, it's terrifying. But, yeah, so, I mean, it affects so many things, but the marine environment is a huge part of it. And it's just, I mean, it's like, because it's like air pollution as well, being a fish.
Yeah.
So very unscientifically.
Yeah, true. It's a great way to think about it.
But, you know, of course, I don't tend to look at plastic bags and think that they look like a meal.
Oh, damn.
Save the turtles. So many, like, environmental impacts that we can't quantify yet. Health impacts on animals, plants, other organisms, and people, but also the social impact of, like, fast fashion. Just,
it's pretty,
pretty crazy how much we manage to, like, forget that there are human beings that make every single item of clothing, and a lot of them just aren't being paid.
There's the labor,
looked after at all.
It's a pretty bad system, really.
It's awful. But like, you know, like I said, everyone's a human being. Hate the game, not the player.
Yeah.
Like, you just live in a place where it's so normalized, and you're worried about, like, getting dinner on the table, getting your assignments in, getting to work on time, you know, cleaning your house. Like, it's so easy to forget, and it's so, can be so difficult to make positive change if you're not surrounded by people who are, like, wanting to take that positive step with you. So I think, for me at least, like, something that I really want from this event is, even though it's just a one-off, is for it to be a place where people have a positive experience with the discussion of sustainability. Where, like, I think that the biggest change that we need to see is, like, a focus on community and like helping each other rather than putting each other down, and that's like that's better for people's mental health, and it's better for people like trying to make a sustainable difference rather than just making you do it all by yourself.
For sure. Wow. Very big words, Matt. I love it. It's good for a Monday show to be talking about this kind of stuff. Sometimes I get really fed up with just how the world is. I'm like, should we just burn it down and make a new one?
I
good
mean,
question. It's so hard trying to tip all these, like, trying to like tiptoe around like ethical consumption and stuff, which I don't think really exists.
Yeah,
you know, at the end of the day, capitalism is built on blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
I'm someone else's blood, sweat, and tears, not yours. So
I honestly feel like, yeah, exactly. Like, you just end up with a lot of people who either don't really care, not really thinking about it because of the situation they're in. Or you get a lot of people who just feel guilty. I know that I feel guilty.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And like I said, like, I find it really hard with time management. So many challenges. So, like, trying to research how to, like, make changes while you're literally just trying to live your life is just difficult. And then having guilt negativity
it's
instead
just
makes you want to shut down instead of
Doing something productive about it.
Well, you wanted to touch on the youth perspective on sustainability here and on fast fashion. I mean, I'm 24 years old, so I'm a bit old myself. But are the youths are they hip to adopting more of like quote unquote ethical consumption practices around fashion, or are they also like, oh, the system's already broken, let's just like do a thing?
You know, I mean, I couldn't tell you. I can only tell you like speak from my experience. I do think it's relatively varied. You get people that, yeah, like I said, I think you get people who care but feel unable to do anything, feel guilty, like, you know, and you get people that, yeah, it's not their main concern. I mean, it's not the first thing I have to do in the morning. The first thing I have to do is, like, get out of bed, not change the fashion industry.
Yeah. What's your perspective, Emily?
I think there's discourse around the issue, definitely. Especially, I know a lot of young people are very, including, you know, myself and everyone else in this room, very kind of like to think about the current issues of the day. Like to think about how our actions are going to impact the world, impact our future, that kind of thing. And I also know a lot of the people I know are very interested in sustainable fashion or shopping secondhand, for that matter. It ties in with the student lifestyle, to be honest. So I think it definitely has a potential, but then again, it's such an ethically complex issue. And it's so easy to get swept up in, you know, everyday life and got assignments to do, like you said, got to put food on the table, that sort of thing. And then at the end of the day, sometimes it's just easier and we go for convenience. But I think it's important to have the information there available to you, and then you can make educated decisions, because I think that's where the issue is a lot of the time. And I guess it's science communication as a whole, right, is when we don't have the information to make the most educated decision, that's when it's kind of most dangerous. If we have the information, then we can really kind of weigh up what's going to be the best option.
And I think like making it available, you know,
exactly,
maybe, like, again, like, you got told to, like, go educate yourself. I mean, I feel like I see people throw that around a lot.
Yeah,
exactly. But, you know, there's fair, like, quite, like, rightfully, a lot of people don't trust various professionals, whether that's, like, politicians, doctors, scientists. And, you know, like, some of it's unfounded. A lot of it has, like, a pretty good reason.
Merit.
Like,
People
are social beings, and, like, you know, you learn, like, we learn things to survive, and we learn who to trust and who we don't trust. But also, like, again, like, if you're super busy, who has the time to go, like, scrutinize all these things? And I feel like, I don't know about you guys, but, like, growing up, there's always been, like, this kind of thing, like, yeah, we know that the world's ending with climate change and stuff, but it's okay because you guys are going to save it, right?
Yeah.
You guys are going to pull through, but I feel like, at least online, there is not... It's more like cancel culture, like, as soon as something's wrong, you're out, like, it's not... We're, like, you know, it's... A, fairly disempowered generation. Like, no one, like, you know, cost of living crisis, all of that.
A lot of good stuff going on.
So, it's pretty tough, but...
I think
well, that's why stuff like this... Oh, sorry.
I think another quite dominant narrative I hear is that, well, it's such a big issue and it's, like, it's the corporations. It's the, like, the man, I guess, who is, like, causing the issue. So what is any change that I make in my life going to contribute to it or going to help
fix
it? But I think, I mean, part of that is fair enough because, one, like, it is the corporations and... like kind of the big polluters that are causing these issues predominantly, but it's about changes about momentum. So if everyone has the idea that if they make a little change, then that will help in some way, and if everyone had that idea, then the amount of change that would happen is I mean, that's when stuff really happens.
That's the whole thing.
I think it's a good point that you bring up about the man, and I think it's the man, you know, anyway, but yeah, I think it's a combination. I think we really do need top-down change, and, like, a lot of things we feel like aren't top-down, but they kind of are. I mean, like, you know, so much money goes into advertising or influencing how news articles are written. Like, and the perspectives we have now are so different than some of the ones that would have been had, like, 50 years ago. But, yeah, really, I think we do definitely need top-down change, but we're not going to get it without, you know, also unifying as human beings. Help people feel like you can make those small changes in your everyday life, and you can also call for wider change rather than, you know, it's hard to call for wider change when you feel like you're part of the problem. And I think that stops people.
Getting very philosophical and very political here. I think we're running out of time because we have another interview at 9:30. But what is the, you know, what is the when, where and why? How can people get involved with Seams and Seas?
So, Seams and Seas is happening tomorrow.
Wow.
It's very soon.
4 till 6. Yeah. 4 till 6 in the space just outside of Union Hall.
Yeah.
So, we have a couple of speakers. We have a marine scientist, Bridie Allen, and we have
Linda Dunn. She's an expert in marine sustainability.
I think, textile sustainability. And so they're both giving talks, and our team has worked very hard to make tote bags. So if you sign up, you get a free tote bag. We've got printing and painting, and we've got a clothes swap going. So please bring along any clothes that you'd rather didn't end up dumped in a third world country. you know, and you know,
entry is free as well.
Entry's free.
Anyone can come.
Yeah, just sign up, come along, have some good vibes, some arts and crafts to take your stress away for a minute.
Break from the books.
Put that existential angst into something creative and passionate and productive.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to us.
Of course, thank you for coming on the program.
Thanks for having
us. Of course. All right, folks, that was Hannah Davis and Emily Mackey talking about their Seams and Seas project, which is really, really awesome. It's 9:24 here on...
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.